Welcome to Career Tools. This week, how to have a great hotel stay, chapter 3, your stay itself. Here we go. So we almost never talk about what Manager Tools does, but in these casts, to some degree, we're using me as a bit of a guinea pig because I spend over 100 nights a year. In fact, one year I spent 199 nights in away from my home bed. In the course of a year of travel and having worked with a lot of hotels and put up a lot of conferences and dealt with a lot of complaints from people about various issues, we have some guidance about the hotel stay itself, What to do while you're there to make yourself most effective when you're on a business trip. Okay.
Yeah.
So what are we going to talk about?
So we're going to start with which room to choose, which kind of room. So I'm going to suggest you choose a room with two queen beds. We'll explain why you want two beds in a minute. Stay packed or unpack, but do the same thing every time.
Right.
Tip the shuttle driver.
Yeah.
Tip the maid on the first night.
Yeah.
And use your checklist when you leave.
Yes, not just when you
pack. No, not just when you pack.
I think we've already told them about having a checklist, right? We did the great packing podcast.
Yeah, we did.
With the video of me packing in my bedroom. That was a mistake. Okay, so choosing a room with two queen beds, and people always say, well, I don't need two beds. Why choose a room with two queen beds?
Okay, because you can sleep in one and use the other as a surface for organizing your stuff, for, you know, laying out your clothes for the day tomorrow, putting your electronics on and so that you don't lose them in the bed that you're using.
Right.
Just generally being organized and keeping your stuff in one place so that you're less likely to lose it.
Yeah, you can do this in a room with two twin beds as well, or a family room which has a bed and a sofa pullout, for instance, because all those rooms are likely to be bigger than a room with just one king bed. And so what ends up happening is you actually get more usable space than having a king bed take up most of the space and not being able to use the rest of the space because it's just floor.
Yeah, and on a business trip, you're on your own. So, you know, a queen bed is plenty big enough.
Yes, I think for most people, it definitely is. And hotel beds move because the maids need to get off, oftentimes they do, and because they're on casters to make it easier for the maids.
Yeah, they move both away from the wall and kind of sideways as well, so that the sheets can be tucked in underneath them all the way around. So the second bed, you can just shove it up to the wall. They're often kind of up to the bathroom wall, often in a hotel. And that gives you a bit more floor space in the middle and stops things rolling off the other side.
Yeah. And by the way, I generally sleep in the bed away from the door, just a habit I have. And that way, when I walk in the room, the first thing I see is the stuff that I have on the bed that remains unmade. And generally, maids are interested in being efficient, and they see a bed that was not slept in.
No, just leave it.
If I've laid down the night before, I lay down on the bed I'm going to sleep in, and I leave the other bed untouched so that when they come in, if there are things on that bed, they know not to make it. They know not to move the stuff on the bed.
Yeah. And if they move the bed back, you can always shove it back into the corner. Yeah. And they're light because, you know, hotel maids tend to be small.
Yeah. Okay, good. Second thing is, stay packed or unpack.
But do the same every time.
But you can't actually, you don't mean stay packed, do you? I mean, what do you mean by stay packed?
You tend to keep most of your stuff in your suitcase.
Everything is in the suitcase, except those things that I hang up.
Exactly.
My shirts and trousers.
Yeah.
And
so that's what I mean by stay packed.
Oh,
so
leave everything. In other words, live out of the suitcase.
Exactly.
As opposed to taking everything out of the suitcase and putting it in the drawers,
which is what I do.
Now, why do you do that? No, by the way, folks, to be clear, I travel 100 plus nights a year and you travel 15?
Like, yeah, don't take my advice.
So why are we making recommendations to do it your way? Well, I mean, I don't understand. No, folks, if you need to feel at home in a hotel, why anybody would want to feel that way, I don't know, but that's okay. If you feel that way, by all means, unpack everything in your suitcase. And it has been my experience over the years traveling with people who do that, is they leave things in drawers often when they're packing in a hurry the next morning. Either they had a drink the last night they were there and they overslept or whatever. Of course, I don't do that. I pack the night before. And when I wake up in the morning, everything except the clothes I'm going to have on and the toiletries I'm going to use are already packed. And I have a very, very precise way of going about putting everything back in the bag, including using the checklist. Mm-hmm. So we're not saying they must do it our way, but if you're looking for seasoned guidance, guys, leave your stuff in your suitcase and learn how to pack your suitcase so it's the same every time, in order to make it the same every time when you travel. The issue is, as you say, consistency, right?
Yeah. So whether you do it my way, which is clearly not as practiced as yours.
As time tested, as battle tested, if
exactly.
you will.
Exactly. Yep. Or you do it Mark's way, which is probably better. The key is to do it the same way every time. I know that I have to check every drawer because I know that I put things in drawers.
Yeah.
And when you're packing late or early, whether it's, you know, whether you call 3 o'clock late or early, you're not at your best.
I think the definition of late and early is pretty standard. Maybe I shouldn't think that, but it is. Late is before you go to bed, and early is after you get up. And it doesn't matter. 3 a.m. could be late or early. And the answer is, folks, you always pack late, meaning before you go to bed. And that way, if you oversleep, or if the power goes out, or if you inadvertently flip your phone because somebody tries to call you in the middle of the night and you put your phone on mute and somehow your alarm doesn't go off, or the battery dies in your portable alarm clock, whatever the case, or you just turn it off and forget where you are because you travel a lot, and suddenly you wake up and realize you have 15 to 20 minutes before you have to board for a flight, even if you're staying in an airport hotel. Packing in that situation
it's just not going to happen. Yeah.
So you pack late the night before and you get ready as if you have to get up and literally throw on clothes without a shower, without a shave, without any of your normal morning ablutions. You just go and make the plane. And in 20 plus odd years, 28 years of business travel, I've never once missed a flight, ever. I've had plenty of flights canceled, plenty of flights delayed, particularly through DFW and in late afternoon thunder showers. And something else we found is that while this may put a pinch on some people's budgets, the fact is, if you're traveling with something and you're traveling with something that's important, by all means, buy it. Just go buy another one. The idea of trying to make it through a day or a week of travel when you've forgotten something, unless it's a toothbrush, in which case most hotels will give you one. Mm-hmm. But if you're in most cities, there's probably a place that's open late where you can go buy a toothbrush. But that said, if it's a charger you need, don't think that you're going to be able to husband your cell phone battery to last the entire time, or mooch off somebody else's charger or something like that. Okay, next point is tip the shuttle driver, which nobody thinks about.
No.
But has huge implications.
And I remember the first time it wasn't the first time I traveled with you, but it was early, and we were at Chicago, and we got off the shuttle bus, and I walked away towards the sidewalk, and then walked back towards the shuttle bus for some reason. And you said to me, "Don't worry about it. I've taken care of it for both of us." And I stood there with incredulation, going, "I didn't know you were supposed to tip them."
Yeah. And you know what? That's a great point about the assumption. Now, to some degree, Europeans have a different mindset.
That's true.
And by no means, folks, are we saying that the American way is right. If you're in Europe and you're a European and you think to yourself, well, we don't tip, then that's okay. We're not suggesting tipping is the right thing. I will say this. When I go to Europe and I tip, I am absolutely appreciated. I'm sure there are places and out-of-the-way towns in Italy, if I left a tip on the table, I would insult some young aspiring writer or actor that they pay me enough. Why would you insult my owners that they don't pay me enough? We're not like America. We don't pay minimum wage. I make a living wage. I make a good salary here as a waiter. Waiting is important. Okay, fine. Your class warfare stuff, great. Okay. And it's been my experience. And to be clear, I overtip almost everywhere I go. I try very hard to be generous, even at Pebble Beach, at the Lodge of Pebble Beach, where it says no tipping, none required. Everyone accepts a tip. Now, unfortunately, they know me now after hundreds and hundreds of nights there. But when I go to Europe and I tip, they are most appreciative, absolutely. And even if those jobs are paid a living wage, the recognition that you did a good job, and you don't just hand them a $5 bill or a 5 euro note or something. You say, thank you, I appreciate that. It meant a lot to me. You saved me time, you saved me trouble, and so on. Mm-hmm. So we have a bias toward tipping. Again, your call, folks, if you're not a tipper. But if you tip when you're going to a hotel and you ride the shuttle to the hotel, you tip the shuttle driver. Now, tell them why.
Because, funnily enough, the shuttle driver knows other people in the hotel. I mean, the most obvious reason is it might be that guy who takes you to the airport the next morning at 3 a.m.
And we'll make a special trip. If he gets there 10 minutes early, he'll say, "Mr. Horseman, I'll run you over real fast." No problem.
Exactly. Yeah. He might make a trip for you. Or you know, they talk amongst themselves. When he goes off shift, he's likely to say, oh, there was some guy who hit me earlier. I'd like, and especially for you, because you're tall and kind of you stand out. So it's easy to be described. I'll tell you something else
that makes me stand out. If people give me a hard time about my Louis Vuitton luggage, which is indestructible and fabulously made, and people recognize whether, no matter where I am in the world, the tall American with the Louis Vuitton luggage is a good tipper. I get all kinds of great service after that. Now, look, folks, if you can't afford it and you can only give a dollar, even a euro note or a coin is a way of saying thank you, provided you deliver the tip with a little bit of appreciation. It can't be flipping him a coin as you're walking by. The real reason you think about the shuttle driver is the shuttle driver is the first person you're going to interact with. We promise, as we just alluded to, the word is going to spread. And being friendly, being pleasant, and being thankful will make all of the service people in the hotel, including the maids, although the way maids do tend to be a little bit cloistered in the sense that the shuttle driver will tell the bell staff will tell the front desk staff, the bell staff will tell the wait staff in the restaurant or the front of the house people. But housekeepers generally don't have as much connection to people.
When I worked as a chambermaid, we all had lunch. The lunchroom, there was only one lunchroom for the staff in the hotel. So everybody mingled at that point.
If you want good service, beyond the service that is normal for the property you're staying at, and there are all kinds of levels of service associated with all kinds of level of properties, you have to be willing to be friendly and pleasant and reward the service you receive. And you may not think that the money is the reward, but the money is the memory anchor that causes them to remember your appreciativeness. And like it or not, there are many service people who are thrilled to make a little extra money. And then lastly, we're going to say essentially the same thing related to the maids, tip the maid on the first night.
And maids are usually allocated blocks of rooms. And that's how they're able to leave those little things in the in your room that says, I'm Sarah and I'm going to be looking after you during your stay. So it's likely that if you tip her on the first night, she'll be the person who does your room every night. And so if you tip on the last night, the money part of it is the same, but you've just lost the opportunity for extra service. So if you want shampoos or towels or, you know, those little chocolates that they put on your clothes pillow.
Look, I'm so sorry. I'm really busy now. I'm interviewing somebody. Can you come back at 4? Well, there are places, if it's not a great hotel, where the maid staff goes off at 3:30 or 4 o'clock because they know all the rooms are done for check-in, and they're there early in the morning, so they can't keep them there 15 hours a day. And if they remember you and you were generous, they'll say, okay, I'll come back and I'll make you my last one of the day. I'll never forget, I stayed in a hotel just recently, actually in Columbus, Ohio. And I stayed 3 nights, and on the first night, I tipped $20, because that, folks, that's way too much. A $5 is fine. For a 2-night stay, a $5 is fine. I would probably give $10, but $5 is fine. And there are some people who would say, by the way, that you shouldn't, whatever you tip the first night, you should tip every night. That we disagree with that. And you don't have to tip a dollar each night. But in my particular case, all I had was 20s. And on the first night, the first day, I tipped 20. And then I had a different server, a different chambermaid each day. And it was very clear what had happened. And I felt very obligated to tip 20 each night, which is probably a mistake. Or some of you probably say, wow, that's a little profligate or extravagant. And you know what? That's okay. In my life, if I'm known for being uncareful with my money to service people who make my life easier when I spend over 100 nights on the road, I leave tomorrow morning and I will not be back for 22 days. And I'm only going to be in couple of three countries, but you
it's
know,
a long time.
These people make a difference to me, and I travel a lot, and this has served me so well to tip on that first night.
How do you let the maid know it's for them?
This is so, you know, I'm amazed at people who say, I left some money, and then the front desk says, well, sir, there was a $10 bill on the desk. That's easy. You do one of two things. You fold the bill in half, and you set it on its side. I mean, meaning fold it in half across the short axis of the bill, okay? And then set the bill on its edge so that it's clearly standing up. So there's no way you left it there or you didn't see it. The other thing is, every hotel, even the worst of hotels, have scratch paper. And if the hotel doesn't have scratch paper and a pen, you do. And you put a little note, thank you so much for your service while I'm here. And put a 5 or a 10 right there. And, you know, and frankly, for some of us, you ought to be able to expense that. Mm-hmm. You expense cabs where you don't need a receipt. And there are companies that say, no, we're not going to expense you. We're not going to give you, even if you handwrite a receipt, we'll get, and then you have to say, okay, do I want to do it? Or do I only want to do it if I get reimbursed? And we're not going to tell you you're wrong for doing either one of those things. I will tell you, I never go anywhere without tipping, even when the place says you don't need to tip. Okay. And then the last point we want to make is use your checklist when you leave.
Yeah. So the checklist that you started before that you used to pack when you left home.
Yeah.
Bring it with you.
Yeah.
You know, because sometimes you'll have your standard printout and you won't have brought everything.
You'll
have brought something extra and you'll have handwritten it in. So bring the list that you packed with you to the hotel, and then use that to make sure that you've packed everything before you leave.
Yeah, and you have a tip about stripping the bed linen.
Yeah, so if you take off the bed linen, pull it off all the way off, and which is how I sleep anyway. I tend to untuck everything, so that's okay. And you just pile it up in the middle of the bed, then you'll know that there's nothing in the bed under the sheets and stuff. And I do the same thing in the bathroom with all the towels. Just get all the towels, lift them up gently, so if something falls, it's not your phone and it shatters, and put them in the tub. And then you'll know, you can see clean surfaces, so you can see if you've left anything.
Just a little mention about packing. I didn't make a big deal out of this when I had the packing video, but I'm amazed at the number of people who say, I struggle with my toiletries because my DOP kit being the thing you put your toiletries in, is so big. And this is particularly true for gentlemen. The DOP kit tends to be a small version of a shoebox. Mm-hmm. It has the dimensions of a shoebox, height, weight, length. Guys, get a flexible bag that will lay flat, because a DOP kit that size will significantly affect your ability to pack well, depending upon the size of your suitcase. And surely you're doing a rollerboard, right, gentlemen?
Mm-hmm.
I'm leaving now tomorrow for 22 days on the road, and I will not take anything but a rollerboard and my briefcase, and I'll be fine. There are a couple of days that I'll be playing golf that I FedEx a couple of golf shirts and so on. So I'm not bringing those, mm-hmm. but it's only 2 days out of the 22. And I'm amazed at the guys who say, well, the DOP kit's a problem. And so I end up just spreading my stuff throughout. You don't have to do that. Just buy a bag that allows your toiletries to lay somewhat flat, and you'll find that you'll be able to pack them much more easily. And something that we'll just mention as well, electronics. Every hotel has a pile of electronics. I imagine all of the Palm chargers are now worthless or being sold on eBay by hotel chains for $1. But the last thing you do before you leave the room is check every wall socket.
Yeah.
It is amazing. I have left, I can't tell you how many chargers I've left in wall sockets in suites where it's not where I would normally put it, by the bed or by the TV. It's in the other part of the room by where I was working the night before, uh-huh. That's not in my mental checklist. So now my checklist is check every socket.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's it. We want queen beds, two of them. We want to either pack or unpack. We strongly recommend staying packed, so you don't leave something in a drawer, particularly if you're not an experienced traveler. But whatever you do, do it the same way every time. Make it a habit so you don't have to think about it, so that when you don't have time to think about it, you'll still know what you're doing. Tip the shuttle driver, tip the maid on the first night. That's all about first, sending the right message. And then use your checklist when you leave. And the fact is, travel like this sounds romantic. I mean, how many kids have you heard me talk to that say, I want your job, Mr. Horseman. It's so romantic.
I want a job where I can travel.
Yeah, I know where all the airports and hotels are, folks. Rewarding good service helps you, and a system to make your life easier on the road. Frankly, to give you more time to talk to your spouse and to your kids and so on, rather than saying, I've got to unpack, I've got to do this, I've got to do that, I've got to check for this. Oh my gosh, I've got to do that. It will make your brain less tired and make you fresher and better for doing the work that you're on the road for. Hope you enjoyed that one, folks. As somebody who spent a lot of nights in hotel rooms, trust me, this is the way to do it. See you next week.